Hello, world. Welcome to Salon Radio, a weekly podcast produced by International Women Artists Salon. And we're coming to you live from New York City at Funkadelic Studios. This is Heidi Russell, founder of International Women Artists Salon. It's my pleasure to host tonight. And I'm here with our illustrious presenter, Maureen Vantrese. How are you?
I'm great, Heidi. It's good to be back. It's been quite a while.
Absolutely. We've been on a little bit of hiatus, and we are kicking off our new platform of Salon Radio as podcasts here in August. So we're appreciate everybody hanging tight and coming back to listen. And for our new listeners, welcome. And you're going to be really pleasantly entertained and inspired by these amazing women artists that we have the good fortune and honor to present. And tonight we have the amazing Cecilia Beck, who is a Scandinavian audiovisual artist. She's going to be playing some of her new music. And we also have for our salon solo, Joanna Sherman, who is the artistic director of Bond Street Theater. And she's going to be telling us a little bit what's happening upcoming for a trip to Malaysia, and we're going to have her back in the future as well, but we want to give her a good send-off. So first, we're going to have our World Bulletin highlighting news about women creatives around the world.
Hey, Salonistas. It's Maureen Vantrese here with your World Bulletin. We are going to start off with Berlin Art Week, a highlight on the contemporary art calendar in the German capital. For the sixth time, the Berlin art world will be hosting exhibition openings, fairs, prize award ceremonies, artist films, and numerous special events during the week. The rich variety of this fall program is made possible by the joint collaboration of institutions, galleries, artists, collectors, and project spaces, and draws international attention. In 2017, visitors can expect large-scale exhibitions on established artists such as Monica Bonvicini, Danny Lyon, Willem de Ruijs, and a retrospective on Haroun Faraki, and countless artists from various genres. The fairs will be the focus of attention. Art Berlin, ABC Art Berlin Contemporary, in collaboration with Art Cologne, will be kicking off a new start for Berlin Art Week. You can find out more information at www.berlinartweek.de/en/berlin-art-week/. Kicked off during Berlin Art Week will be the film work of Danielle Huyer and Jean-Marie Straub, Tell It to the Stones. It will be presented at the Akademie der Kunst. That's November 14th through November 19th. This year, the films of Danielle Huyer and Jean-Marie Straub resist casual consumption. They're made to be seen in the cinema, and it remains the best venue to appreciate their political as well as sensory dimensions. Huyer Straub take their audiences seriously, and they respect them enough not to want to entertain them. They invite viewers to take part in their work by demanding something in return, to watch and to listen, and they show what cinema usually takes great pains to conceal, that it is work to read or perform a text, to compose and perform music, to make a decision and to live a life. What can be shown, at least to a certain degree, is the amount of work that has gone into the films. It remains largely invisible, however, because its purpose was to make something else possible. This was above all Danielle Huyer's part in the production process of this joint oeuvre. She was producer and film editor, director's assistant and production manager, actress and dialogue coach. Traces of her work can be found throughout the exhibition, those of a correspondent, agent, and translator who turned imagined potentialities into technical realities. It was a role that epitomizes what Jean-Marie Straub associates with the term communists, people who are able to produce a communal life and work. Kommunisten, done in 2014, was one of the most recent films by Jean-Marie Straub. It's a six-part retrospective and compilation of works the filmmakers created together. This predefined selection structures the exhibition, allowing an encounter with the work. Constellations of diverse documents pick up the threads laid out by this choice and lead back to the creative processes, to specific places, and to a wide network of colleagues, friends, and supporters. In addition, six international artists have produced new works that take up, continue, annotate, and redirect these aesthetic and topographical journeys. As Jean-Marie Straub says, the films are what they are thanks to the work that went into them, and a majority of the work before and during filming has to do with avoiding clichés, blowing them up, dynamiting them. There is a word that's no longer in use that has become a cliché. It's about dialectics. The point is that you can never say or show something where the possibility of resistance from its opposite cannot also be sensed. Again, that's at Akademie der Kunst at Hans-Sittenweg number 10, 10557 Berlin. More information at www.adk.de. And you can get tickets there as well. Just recently, the Brooklyn Museum announced that Jennifer Y. Chi has been named the institution's new deputy director and chief curator. Chi joins the museum after 10 years as the exhibitions director and chief curator at the Institute for the Study of the Ancient World at New York University. Chi will be responsible for helping to shape the overall strategic direction of the museum and overseeing its curatorial program and activities, including exhibitions, public programs, and the display of its collections. Director Ann Pasternak said, "I'm excited to partner with Jennifer. She's not only a renowned scholar and curator, but also a creative thinker whose drive and entrepreneurial skills will be a great boon to our efforts in expanding our curatorial activities." This week, IWAS honors Kate Millett. The author, artist, and activist in the women's liberation movement, Kate Millett, passed away this past Wednesday on September 6th at the age of 82. Her first book, Sexual Politics, in 1970, used four male writers, D.H. Lawrence, Henry Miller, Norman Mailer, and Jean Genet, as case studies in examining the subjugation of women throughout cultural and political life. Born in 1934 in St. Paul, Minnesota, Kate Millett and her two sisters were raised by her mother, Helen Millett, a feminist who voted in the first election in which women were allowed to vote in the United States. Millett was educated at the University of Minnesota, where in 1956 she obtained a bachelor's in English literature, and was later sent by an aunt to Oxford University, where in 1958 she earned a master's in English literature with first-class honors, the first American woman ever to achieve such a distinction there. In 1961, she moved to Tokyo, where she taught English at the prestigious Waseda University and also studied sculpture. Though she married Japanese sculptor Fumio Yoshimura there in 1965, Millett soon moved to New York City. In 1970, her Columbia University PhD thesis was published as the best-selling book, Sexual Politics. Millett went on to publish numerous articles, essays, and 10 more books. Her most recent publications are The Politics of Cruelty, an essay on the literature of political imprisonment from 1994, and Mother Millett from 2001. In 2013, she was inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame in Seneca Falls, New York, the birthplace of the American suffragette movement. She served as the director of the Millett Center for the Arts, founded in 1978 in the town of LaGrange, New York. And that'll wrap it up for our World Bulletin.
So as you can see, there's amazing things that are happening around the world by women creatives in all the different disciplines. So please, if you know of anything that's happening in your area of the world, please email us at womenartsalon@gmail.com and let us know. We'll get it on air. And so I'm going to turn it over to Maureen to start our Salon Solo interview.
All right. Thanks, Heidi. It's great to be back, and I'm here with Joanna Sherman. She is the artistic director and one of the founders of Bond Street Theater. And now they have been around since 1984, and they do projects in conflict areas around the world. It's a very amazing focus and project, mostly focused on women. Mm-hmm. They work primarily in post-war, refugee, and disadvantaged communities. Mm-hmm. They collaborate with the local artists, applying the arts to the peace-building process. Their current focus areas include Afghanistan, Myanmar, Malaysia, Lebanon, and Tunisia. So now, Joanna, you also do theater for social development, and you're a member of the Laboratory for Global Performance and Politics at Georgetown University. Mm-hmm. So you do get into the academic world and put your information out there to the academics. You've spoken at the UN. Mm-hmm. You've been featured on CNN and the BBC and NPR. And she has a publication out called The Children of Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. It's a composite of different stories.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. And so I want you to tell me a little bit about how you were inspired to start this theater company with this mission and focus.
Mm. Well, going back to, actually, we were founded in the late 70s, and it was kind of the heart of a political theater movement, and so we did political street theater in Tompkins Square Park and Washington Square and Central Park. And, going way back there, when Reagan came in, there was no more money for this kind of community mm-hmm. venture, so we started to travel more. And I think in traveling, we started to see that there was a big wide world out there, and the politics here was important, but the situation elsewhere in certain other areas of the world were really critical. Mm-hmm. And so we started to just reach out and maybe go to a festival, but on the side, work with the street children. You know, for example, Brazil. We were mm-hmm. invited to some very nice festivals. But we said, oh, well, look at the street kids. Let's do something with them.
So it came as a side project of going to these festivals.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
It blossomed into what you do now.
What we do now. And now we've been in 40 countries worldwide doing this mm-hmm. kind of work. And, you know, as we were just talking about before, as an artist, you know, you have to just use your intuition. Every place is so different. And you never know what the situation is going to be mm-hmm. like. And you just have to open up and be open to what the world hands you. And so there's no like little bag of tricks you can pull out of your pocket. You just have to be immediately inspired and use your intuition.
Talk about a little bit about the kinds of things you do when you go into these countries. How do you get it set up? What kinds of programs are you trying to do when you get
right.
there?
Well, you know, with the focus on women especially, I could speak about that. In many places in the world, as we know, you know, women don't get a voice. They don't get a chance to speak out and tell their story. So very often what we're doing is we're just giving them the opportunity to tell their stories and to share and to play. But like, for example, mm-hmm. in Afghanistan, women don't get a chance to, you know, little girls, they work from the minute they're
right.
born. They're, you know, washing clothes and going and fetching, and they miss their childhood to a large degree, and they especially are supposed to be seen and not heard, or not even seen, really just
right,
you know,
invisible.
So, you know, one of the things we're most proud of is that we've started 4 all women's theater companies in Afghanistan. And that was huge, and it was new, and they still exist. And the biggest challenges were Kandahar and Nangarhar, because they're very conservative areas. So we had to find the girls who were going to be willing to do this. And they were maybe between the ages of 15 and 22. And then at that point, you have to get married, so that sort of squelches that idea. But we had to go speak to the parents, and we had to explain what theater is. You know, theater under
right.
the Taliban, or all of the arts had been.
Just doesn't exist.
Didn't exist. So we had to say what theater is, and they know television, but television is, like, not looked upon fondly because, you know, they're Bollywood and these soap operas from Turkey that were
all the Western influence.
And some Western influence as well. So they didn't look fondly. So we had to, you know, we invited the local religious leaders, the mullahs, to come see what we were doing, to see that it was really Afghan stories told by Afghans in their own language and their own way. But we were pretty much starting from scratch, teaching the girls what theater was and what acting is. And it's not rocket science, you know, but you do have to actually face the audience and lift your chin up and speak out and, you know, and then what to say, you know. So we have these some methods now to create stories very quickly. But I said, well, what would you say to the guy? And they'll say, well, goodbye. Good, let's start with that, you know. So, you know, we start very, very, very simply and then mm-hmm. build on it. And as they get into it and they get into the character, then it gets a little bit more juicy. And I should also mention that, you know, in Afghanistan, men play the women's parts in theater, at least in the conservative areas.
Oh.
It's changing.
Just like Shakespeare.
Just like Shakespeare. But, you know, in my imagination, they did it better because these guys had no idea what women walk like or talk like. As
oh,
far
right.
as they're concerned, women are like, oh, eek, oh, and a lot of crying.
Right.
That's solely
well, that may be what they see a lot of. A lot
and
of crying.
They're dancing around the stage and they're saying, come on, let's work on some body language here. Have you really seen women like mince around the stage like that? Seriously, let's look at how women walk. You know, so, you know, taking them through the body. If they could play women, mm-hmm. let's do it right.
Right.
And all that like eking and crying. And stuff.
Do you feel like exposing them to that sort of training helped to change their view of women at all?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, because I'm a woman, and they and some of our compatriots are men, women, both, and to see us be friends, that men and women can actually be friends and chum around and kind of like hit each other and talk and, you know, joke and laugh, and they didn't see that. They were just like amazed. They were like, wow, Americans are kind of nice people, and well, they're funny. And we never saw something like that. No, you know, I'm going back a ways because, you know, things have changed a bit and things are a little bit more free. But, you know, in a lot of areas that are very conservative, they don't see women as being kind of normal human beings. They're sort of some special breed. So with these girls, you know, they would make stories of things that were important to them. And the girls playing men, they are outstanding. They are scary good.
Great actresses.
Absolutely. They know what the abusive husband sounds like and walks like and acts like, or the dismissive policeman. They know that, and they're really good. And I'll tell you, when the girls get in front of like a crowd of women for the first time, and they told me later, it's like, wow, they were all listening to me. They were all watching me. Wow. And they're older than them. You know, I guess I have something to say. It was like, yeah.
It's
yeah,
empowering.
They were listening to you. It's really empowering. And it's not like we're empowering them. It's like they have the power.
Right.
We're just releasing that power. So that's one of our main things, is working with women in whatever way we can, women and girls.
That is beautiful.
And in different places, it's different, you know. And with little kids, you know, the boys and girls play together and whatever, but... with the women in, you know, sometimes we use stilts. I know I was showing you a picture of stilts before, but we have little trainer stilts, and they're very uplifting, literally and figuratively. But, you know, they look really magical, but they're really easy. I have to break the news. They're actually easy. It's easy to work.
I don't know about that. I've never tried them.
But even in like the north of India, where women were very conservative, they look at us like, oh, we could never do that. And it's like, yes, you could. And they're doing it barefoot in their saris, walking on stilts. And once they get it, they're like, yeah, they feel like $1 million because they're tall. And, you know, we do this in refugee camps too with little kids, you know, and they're on their stilts and they're taller than their fathers and they're taller than their boss or their whoever's bossing them around. And they just feel like $1 million. So they're, you know, they're not going to be actors when they grow up necessarily. Any of these refugee kids,
but
they could be.
It's empowering.
They will remember this for the rest of their
life.
That yes, I have a voice, and yes, people listen to me.
And it might change the way that they behave when they become adults.
Yes, I certainly should hope so, and I think that they will impart that to their children as well.
That is the hope, yes.
Yeah.
So talk to me a bit about the next project that's coming up in August. You are going to Malaysia.
Yes.
And you're going to be working with refugees and migrant populations.
Migrant workers,
now, they are, you've said they are from Sri Lanka, Afghanistan, Somalia, Yemen, the Middle East, from everywhere. And they
and
come to Malaysia.
Yeah. A lot from Myanmar. Now, we worked in Myanmar since 2009, so we have a lot of experience there. But the Rohingya, the Muslim population, has been oppressed for many, many, many years. And now it's sort of, now that there's kind of an opening in Myanmar, it's, and this happens when things open up, that sort of chaos will brew for a while. So this was the chance, I guess, for some retaliation or some attack on the Muslim population, which is unfortunate. In Myanmar. Now, they had been kind of ignored, stateless people previously, and with very little chance to escape the situation. So sometimes you hear about boat people, you know, people that went out on boats and tried to land in Thailand, and some horrific stories about them just casting them out to sea without any means to, and just drifting and whatever. Trafficking is a big issue as they try to get to Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Malaysia is a stable country, and it is mostly Muslim, but it's more progressive. So it's a haven for a lot of different groups.
It provides a sense of security, more safety.
Yeah, I think a little bit more safety. And, again, this is going to be a brand new ball game. I've been to Malaysia, but this situation is going to be, again, mm-hmm. Using your ability to speak without words, to communicate without language, to, work with all different populations.
Because there are so many languages you'll be dealing with.
So many. And creating a show, what we want to do is, again, create a show with the refugee population. Mm-hmm. So we're partnering with a company called Asylum Access, Malaysia, mm-hmm. and they work with legal issues, access to justice for migrant, mostly for refugees, and another organization that works with migrant workers. And we would like to, through theater, let them know what their legal rights are, because that's really important right there. Because they really just don't know what their legal rights are at all. And because Malaysia is not privy to the refugee ordinance of UNHCR. So they are not protected in the way that refugees are in some other places.
Right.
Although UNHCR is there and working with them. So, We'll see.
You said you're working also with North-South Initiative.
North-South Initiative
works with the migrant workers.
Yeah, migrant workers, and that's another situation. A lot of them come from Bangladesh and mm-hmm. areas, and they've been there for a long time. And again, as you can imagine, they're not treated well because they don't have any rights. So they're like, illegal immigrants here.
Like the immigrants here that are coming to pick cucumbers.
Yeah. That's right. So they're paid or not paid or treated very badly, and it's kind of slave labor in a way. And they're living in very crowded quarters, et cetera. So again, like imparting to them through theater, because what they do is they go out and they give PowerPoints. But PowerPoints don't play for everybody. First of all, they're dry. I mean, they've even told me that. They're a little dry. And not everybody reads and writes. And also, what language mm-hmm. are you going to do it in? So, but through theater, you can really impart a lot of information. And then we have kind of post-show feedbacks and questions, and we'll have, professionals there. And then in the end, what we don't want to do is create shows with the refugees about things that they want to talk about. So, just open it up to them. And give them the methodology to be able to do that again and again and again.
Right, on their own.
On their own.
After you're gone, right.
Yeah.
So now I want to say that you're coming back
mm-hmm.
with us in October.
Yeah.
So we are going to talk then about some wonderful stories that you bring back from Malaysia with you. And I'm excited about that. Great. So, again, thank you so much, Joanna, for coming in and talking to us about
to
this.
Have this opportunity. Thank you both.
And that is Bond Street Theater. They're mm-hmm. at www.bondst.org.
Thank you.
And you can go on their website and check out all of the projects that they're involved in and also donate. They are a nonprofit.
Yay. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Joanna. Wonderful.
Okay. Thank you both. Thank you.
We're going to take a little short break for our Salon Bulletin. First up, The History of Bees. A book talk with Maya Lund takes place at Creative Partner Organization Scandinavia House at 58 Park Avenue, New York, New York. And that is today, Thursday the 14th, from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Norwegian author Maya Lund visits Scandinavia House to discuss her debut novel, The History of Bees, published by Touchstone just this past August. It's an ambitious, deftly executed literary debut in the spirit of Station 11 and Never Let Me Go. The History of Bees follows three generations of beekeepers weaving a spellbinding story of their relationship with nature, their children, and ultimately one another against the backdrop of an urgent global crisis. Following the discussion, copies of the book will be available for purchase and signing. Tickets are free on their Facebook event at Scandinavia House. You can also find that on Eventbrite. For our followers in Berlin, Salonista Louisa Greenfield's piece, History Lessons by Comparison, will be a part of Berlin Art Week and on view at the Academie der Kunst from September 14th through November 19th. And Louisa will give a talk on September 17th. So if you're in the Berlin area, go see Louisa's work along with film greats Danielle Huillet and Jean-Marie Straub, which we mentioned earlier in our World Bulletin. Again, that's at Akademie der Kunst, Hans-Sittenweg, number 10, 10557 Berlin. And more information is available at www.adk.de. If you're in the Philadelphia area this weekend, this Saturday, September 16th, our creative partner organization, Camp Philadelphia, is pleased to announce they're celebrating their 10-year anniversary of networking, dinners, brunches, community service, and speakers, all celebrating the positive contributions Muslim Americans make in their communities. They are commemorating this milestone by hosting their annual Eid ul-Adha event, Muslims in the Arts, featuring Farah Siraj, dubbed the Nora Jones of the Middle East by New York Time Out, and who represents Jordan annually on the United Nations World Peace Day. A highly anticipated event, attendees will be provided ample time to network and connect with successful professionals from Philadelphia's diverse Muslim community, so don't forget your business cards. The cuisine will be Indian, halal, of course, attire, formal or semi-formal. It will be at the Karma Restaurant and Bar at 246 Market Street in Philadelphia. You can get tickets at https://CampHill2017.eventbrite.com. They're non-refundable. They're not available at the door. The general admission is $45. You can learn more about that by visiting the Council for the Advancement of Muslim Professionals and Camp Philadelphia on Facebook or email philadelphia@camp-online.org. Here in New York, it's Salon Lounge time again at Dixon Place this Saturday, September 16th from 7:30 to 8:30. Our monthly themed showcase of women's performance, literature, and film, video, and visual art at our partner venue, Dixon Place in the city, is a free event open to the public. We're in our fifth year at Dixon for this series. Most past shows are archived and viewable on our YouTube channel, International Women Artists Salon. Join us live on the third Saturday of each month at Dixon Place. We'll be at 161 Christie Street in NYC's Lower East Side. Come early to mix and stay after to mingle. It's free to attend. Donations are welcome. Dixon Place Lounge is open before, during, and after the show, and proceeds directly support Dixon Place's artists and mission. This month's theme is The Future is Female. And that'll wrap up our Salon Bulletin.
What wonderful things that are happening with our Salonistas, and thank you to Joanna for sharing where she's going to be headed shortly, and we look forward to having her back. And now we have the incredible audiovisual artist, Cecilia Beck, and Maureen. I can't wait to hear more, because Cecilia is from Denmark, and of course my heritage is Danish, so we've already been speaking a little Danish back and forth.
Oh, how
and,
nice.
So I can't wait to hear more about your creative life. So take it away, Maureen.
Thanks, Heidi. Thanks. So Cecilia Beck, Scandinavian audiovisual artist. Cecilia has a Master of Fine Arts from the Royal Danish Academy. She's studied art as activism in public spaces. So we're going to definitely talk to her about that today. She also spent 6 months in Indonesia, where she created a series of street art and music. You might want to tell us a little bit about Indonesia, too. That could be fascinating. Mm-hmm. And she's now based here in New York City. In January 2016, she released her album Here Is Now, and that's on her own label, Sound Vision Lab, Inc. And that's her first music album. She's going to be playing some snippets of some songs for us a little bit later. She has showcased her work at various venues in NYC, including Arlene's Grocery and The Bitter End. Internationally, she's performed in Oslo, Berlin, and Copenhagen. She's been all over the world. So now you say that light and sound are two faces of the same coin, and that music and visuals are present in all of your work. Talk about some of the topics that you prefer to bring out and talk about and explore with your art.
Well, I always like to touch a little bit on different political subjects that are relevant. So I basically, usually work a lot with feminist topics and do some work with the LGBTQ community. And, you know, I travel a lot. So I work with, when I was in Indonesia, I was living in a small Muslim community that was also... had a cultural heritage in black magic, so I worked with those women as well and did some street art there that were touching upon the gender politics there. As you know, I come from Denmark, which is a little bit different in gender politics and a little bit more, actually even more developed than many places in America, I would say.
Absolutely.
I would say.
And so with, you know, 5 months paternity leave and 5 months maternity leave and, you know, all paid through taxes. And so it's when I moved to America, I was really shocked by the racism here and the gender politics. So it's something that's very integrated in my work and also was even before I moved here. So, yeah.
Beautiful. So what are some of the most recent projects that you have created?
Some of the most it's so funny to have to look back like instantly because I always look forward and like when I finish a project I put a lid on it and let it stay until I have to, you know, present it.
How
in
about
some
one
way.
Of the most favorite things you've done?
So while I was working on my album Here Is Now, I've been working recently very much with a dancer called Nora Stevens. And we were doing a performance at the day of the inauguration, and that was touching upon, you know, the current political situation in America. And we also recently did another performance at Soundance in Greenpoint, where we were doing this like whole, she's a professional dancer and she's like very serious about what she works with and how she uses her body, and we're like both very like, you know, conscious about different social structures, and we still wanted to like touch upon a very like serious situation without like in a way that we could inspire instead of like making it more heavy. So we did this whole thing with what's it called, cheerleading dance,
okay.
And like dressed up in this, in, you know, stars and stripes colors, and did this touched on the subjects in that way.
Now were you dancing with her, were you playing music?
I was dancing with her and playing music, and I also engaged the audience in participating in the performance, which I love to do, you know, to
wow,
get people
that's
involved.
Amazing. You say you take your inspiration from the cities that you live in, the places that you travel to, and that's essential for your work. So tell me, how has New York City inspired you?
Well, New York City is like the first place I traveled to where I was thinking that it has people from all over the world. Like you can just walk out on your street corner and see one culture and walk to the next and see something else. And before I moved to New York City, I was very curious as to whether it would be, you know, streets of New York, or it would be you know, Sex in the City or what, like whatever series or
so
movie.
You had an idea for media in your head,
like,
about what you were going to find.
Yeah, I was like, is it going to be this movie? Is it going to be this movie? Because all movies or series about New York are very different from each other and show very different faces of the city. But the truth is that it's all here, which is very confusing and very inspiring at the same time. It's very important, I think, to like know who you are and stay grounded and then observe and interact, obviously. But it's all cities. The whole world is in New York City.
The whole world is in New York. That's right. It's everything here.
Yeah.
I think that's great advice for someone coming to New York.
Absolutely. Mm. Just know that everything is here, and we mean everything.
Everything. All the smells. all the
sounds. If you don't like what you're smelling, walk another 10 feet, you'll smell something else.
Yeah.
Could be better, could be worse, but it will be different.
And it will be blended with dog piss on both of them.
and there was a salonista who just posted something, I think yesterday, mentioning like within a two box, she had like a Thai authentic, these are authentic foods from different countries, like a Thai bubble tea and something else from another country, and bought something from another country, all within like two blocks. She was just like, this is New York. Yeah.
Astoria is like that too. There's
I love it.
20 different cultures in one little area. It's amazing.
Yeah, I guess they say Queens is the borough in the world that has the most languages.
More languages, more cultures. You name a country in the world, there is probably somebody from that country living in Queens.
Incredible.
It's fascinating.
So tell me, is there a female artist that you admire who inspires you?
Well, you just had Joanna on the show. She inspired me like so much with just hearing her talk. I was really inspired. I definitely want to catch up with her and hear what she's up to, and maybe even hear if she would want to collaborate at some point. I love collaborating with people that inspire me, and I always reach out if there's someone that I really like, no matter how far they are in their career.
I love seeing that happen when you can bring two people together who suddenly click and it's like, we could do this together.
So it's that was really inspiring, I think. And the work she was doing with Bond Street Theater was, that's just revolutionary, actually. I also am very, very inspired by one of my like very dear and close collaborators called DJ Cherries the Love, who's a cancer survivor, which is like one of the ways she actually, I would say, that she brands herself in that way, because she's a survivor and she uses it a lot to inspire people. The way she's like treated herself and cured herself, and with her positivity and her the way she is, her whole diet and the life that she has created around her treatment and moving on. So I just like admire her insanely. I'm like obsessed with my new friend and collaborator. She's so great. And she like Joanna does, she's traveling around. She was just in Ecuador to work with orphans there. And she works with poor children in New York in different neighborhoods. And
have you had a chance to collaborate with
her?
We
collaborate a lot.
What are some of the favorite things you've done with her?
Well, we had during the Women's March, a couple of days later, we did a whole show at Drome in the East Village. And so she was DJing and we were playing some of my songs with backtracks, and I interacted my piano. And so we were also doing a few covers, but what we were focused on was the Women's March. And so we had and just like feminism in general, I think, and like touching like just gently on some different subjects that we were concerned about and interested in. And we built this like beautiful giant hairy, super hairy vagina that we brought on stage.
What was it made out of? Like,
it was made out of fake fur. A lot of black fake fur.
Okay.
It was beautiful, very pink. The skin was very pink and fluffy, and like with big, beautiful lips. And they were just there to kiss people. And so we put a bunch of feminist quotes in there, and like, you know, from Audre Lorde and Virginia Woolf, and had people in the audience pull the quotes out of the big, beautiful, wet, kissing vagina. Which was really
wet too?
it became wet. People were like putting, you know, their hands deep into it.
Get a little sweaty in there.
Yeah, got a little sweaty in there. Especially, it was really fun.
Wow.
You know.
This is make appearances periodically?
Well, we actually, I have a dream. I have a dream of, I just
can we bring it out?
Yeah, I just reached out. You're definitely very welcome to borrow it if you feel like that would be appropriate. I do have a dream about collaborating with a man that I met in, an artist that I met in Oslo at some point while I was doing a performance at a sound gallery, which was basically ice skating rink that a curator that I also collaborate with called Andreas Hell Oxenville. He invited me to come up there and do this performance, and while I was there I met this artist called Smuta, who was from New York. And so I touched base with him and got to know him a little bit, and he travels around the world and talks about how it is to be a man after, you know, the introduction of feminism, how you can be a politically responsible man, and how you can be like, you know, rest and like be conscious about your and be happy with your sexuality as a man without it being offensive in any way to women, you know. So he like does these like, he has like the same approach as I do in many situations, like he has a lot of humor in it, and so he uses his nudity a lot, which is not very usual for a man to do that, right? But he's like, hey, I want to be able to show my body, you know, I want to do all these things. So anyway, so he is doing, he sings a lot about his sexual experiences and like fantasy. So I have a dream of collaborating with him and DJ Cherish the Love in the fall, and I hope to have him like come out on stage through a giant vagina. And he did respond to me that it sounded like his destiny.
If you can work it out with the current prop.
I hope so. We may have to make it even bigger.
Well, it's good to know there's a guy out there that's on our side.
Yeah.
And pushing for our causes and our
absolutely
whole way of being.
Mm-hmm.
The way we need to be. The way we need to be free to.
Yeah.
To express ourselves.
Yeah.
It's
absolutely
beautiful.
And that's one of the goals of International Women Artists Salon, is even though we're a platform for presenting women's work and helping to raise up women's artistry around the world, but it's very important for us to not be insular and to be partnering with our male colleagues and supporters and fans and partners out there. So, yes, we do love our enlightened men and invite them to engage with International Women Artists Salon,
and
well.
Invite them to enlighten other men too.
Yes.
Absolutely.
yes.
So let's listen to some music now.
I brought a few songs.
The songs you'd like to play.
Well, I made a song just a few days ago. What's gonna be? Well, it's actually like a few weeks ago, and I haven't named it yet. But I think it's maybe gonna be called My Own Sweet Time. I'm just learning to play it, so you're going to get it very,
like
very raw. It's about catcalling. It's about catcalling.
Oh, okay. All right. So
I just walked over to the piano. That was the noise around. Okay. I would like you to help out a little bit. Do you think you could like do some snapping with me?
Okay.
Okay, I'll just set the tempo. Yeah. I'll be walking around in circles in my home sweet time. I'll be walking through the dirt in my shoes so fine. I'll be folding my clothes in my home sweet time, making wrinkles in the folds, cause I do not mind. I do not mind. Cause I'm the short straw, baby, I'm up to no good. Try to catch this lady on her wrong foot. I may smile like a sun, doesn't mean that I care. You got a loaded gun, but I got fire in my hair. I got fire in my hair, yeah. Try to catch my stare. I got fire in my head, yeah. You got a loaded gun, but I got fire in my head. I get up
about to hit the streets with this walk of mine, and the birds and the bees try to catch my eye. I don't hear the words when you say that I'm fine. Save those sweet words, baby, for your faithful wife. Save those catcalling, baby, for your wife. Well, I'm the short straw, baby, I'm up to no good. Try to catch this lady on her wrong foot. I may smile like the sun, doesn't mean that I care. You got a loaded gun, but I got fire in my hair. It's a small snippet of that
one.
Oh, wow,
that's awesome.
Ooh.
Woo.
My voice needs to be a little bit more warm in this air condition. That helped it, though.
I think you sounded lovely. Wonderful, wonderful. I love the topic. It's like catcalling is one of my big pet peeves.
And it's so annoying.
It's so annoying, and I have actually like thrown things down on the sidewalk and screamed at them and told them to come over here and say it to my face and see what happens.
And
then they rolled up
the
window of their car and looked at each other like, "Oh, she's crazy."
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to out cray cray the cray cray.
Yeah.
It's
a problem that we all as women have to deal with.
Yeah,
exactly.
Every day.
Yep. Every day. So what else can you share with us? Give us another song.
Well, now that my voice is
now that you're all warmed up,
I might sing a song called Ice.
Ice. All right. Tell us what is Ice about.
So Ice is a. It's about a love story.
Oh, okay.
That was put on ice and may be opened up again.
Okay.
On a mellow night in the garden light, his eyes shine bright, full of delight. But we don't kiss anymore, 'cause he wants nothing or more. I tried to cool the water into ice so I could break it down, so I could break it down. And I tried to hide the shadows in the night so light couldn't be found, and I couldn't be found. I've traveled far, plane, train, and car. And I bike the streets of invisible cities. Towers and bridges reach for the riches above, but caves and graves cannot chain love. Tried to cool the water into ice so I could break it down, so I could break it down. And I tried to hide the shadows in the night so light couldn't be found, and I couldn't be found.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Absolutely.
I love it. Thank you so much. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Now, I understand you have another album coming out. Tell us about this. When is this happening?
This is going to be really awesome. So I'm working with Frank Cathcart, who's an amazing producer in Eastside Sound, which is an amazing studio as well. And he just took over the lease. And yeah, go find him. He's so great working with in Eastside Sound. And him and I have been developing this project a little bit together. I have all the songs, but we're like looking into how to develop the sound of it together. I'm moving a little bit on from the sound from Here Is Now, which I love to work on, but now I'm working more with an acoustic bass of the songs, or not acoustic, but like definitely instrumental. And we're I'm not going to break the actual secret about... I was just about to break the secret about what the actual album... Like, there are some things about it, some scientific things about the album that's a little bit different for a pop album. But definitely... I've been studying sound recently. In the winter, I realized that I was working with a medium that I'd been working with since I was a child, and I didn't actually know so much about, I never really thought about what sound is and how it affects us, and so I did a lot of research about that in the winter, and looked into how it can be healing for us, and it can also actually be like a tool for manipulation. Like, you know, there's some music that's very, you can almost feel it on your body. It's like almost like spikes, like hitting you. Some like really like kind of. There is some kind of really bad produced pop music out there that's just like more annoying or like irritating to you than healing. So that's something I've been looking very much into, and something that's going to be interacted in the project that I'm gonna work on. I have a fundraiser for this album, which is going to be August 10th at Boudin in Greenpoint. I think it's going to be from 5 to 9. I might have to ask you to check on my social media for that. August 10th. And I'll be selling a whole bunch of my songs without sound, which is basically my two-dimensional work with my songs. So it's paintings of my songs and drawings of my songs. And I'll have like a big, you know, exhibition there where you can come and buy art for not so much money and support this album that I'm working on.
Wonderful. And now can we get more information on your website?
Yeah, there is more information on my website, which is ceciliabeck.com, and that is C-E-C-I-L-I-E-B-E-C-K. And you can also find me on my social media pages, which are Cecilia Beck One on Instagram and Twitter. And you can find me on Facebook, of course, as well.
Wonderful. This has been such a beautiful experience.
Thank you
so much for coming in and
so
sharing
much for
our music.
Me. It was really a pleasure to
and
be
we're
here.
We're going to have to send you off to your gig that's coming up at 1 o'clock today.
Yes.
Down in Tompkins Square Park.
Yes.
I'll say that.
Yes, I have to run down there, grab a cab, and get on to do a little activism down there.
All right. So if anybody, you know, hopefully you'll get a big crowd there.
Yeah, I hope so.
Absolutely. And it's so strange not having being live to say,
right,
hey, come on down.
Hey, come on down and do that.
From our time on City World Radio. And I'd like to give an extra thank you to City World Radio and Johnny Anello for all the work he did for helping us produce all of our 200 plus salon radio shows with great inspiration and amazing women's work happening around the globe for the last 5 years. And we are... What are we doing? We are transitioning to podcast, the platform, so
yes,
that folks can download them easier and follow us easier. And so we're looking forward to seeing and hearing Cecilia's work in the future. And thank you for being here. And
thank
also
you so much for having
to Joanna for being here earlier, Joanna Sherman of Bond Street Theater. And absolutely to Maureen Vantrese, the amazing actor and voice over artist, being our presenter, and Jade, our engineer, who's an amazing musician in her own right. You can see her and hear her work on jadezabrick.com. So please come back and listen every week and stay tuned. Follow us on Facebook, our Twitter and Instagram, and email us at womenartsalon@gmail.com anytime to join us, partner with us, and sponsor us. And please do get out to see amazing women's creative work in your area of the world. Thank you.
Yay.